This broadcast is brought to you by the Legatum Institute, an international think tank and educational charity. We hope you enjoy this event.
Good evening. I'm Alana Putza with the Culture of Prosperity program at the Legatum Institute, and I'm here speaking with Anne Murphy from University of Herefordshire about cities. Anne, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for inviting me.
So we're here to talk about cities, and I wanted to ask you, which city in history do you think has been the most central to human flourishing?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because I don't think you can pick one city. But the city that I would pick is one that I think is quite central to the development of my particular research interest, which is financial innovation and financial institutions. And it also has a wider significance as well. So the city that I would pick is Venice. And Venice is very important in the history of trade, especially in the late medieval and the early modern period. It sits in the perfect place in between Europe on the one side and Asia on the other side. It also, because it has this sort of central place in the development of trade, there are financial instruments that are developed around that as well. And because of its importance and its growing economic prosperity, of course, it becomes threatened and it has to protect itself. And in order to protect itself, it has to raise money in order to fight wars, in order to maintain armies. So then it develops new financial instruments and new ways of managing finance in order to do that. Now, there are other cities who are doing, which are doing the same thing at the same time. And there are certainly cities then who take those innovations and change and adapt and develop them. And I wouldn't want to suggest that there's a nice, easy journey between what happens in Venice through the rest of Northern Europe to Britain and then maybe out into the Atlantic world. But I think Venice as a starting point is a really interesting place to start and a good place to understand as a stepping off point for things that come later as well.
Pioneer in financial innovation.
Pioneer, yes.
And so how about for you personally, what city has had the greatest influence or impact on your life?
It has to be London. Mm-hmm. And it has to be London because I think both of my careers have been based around London. So I grew up in Essex, and when I was leaving school, London was the place that you went to look for a job. I didn't go to university straight away. I went straight to work, and I went straight to work in the city. And in the mid-80s, it was a very exciting place to work, a fascinating place to work. And for somebody who'd come from a relatively, I suppose, provincial background, it was fantastic. And there I developed a career which I never thought I could have, especially as a young woman growing up. You know, this is just at the time really when horizons are starting to expand. And the opportunities for women in the 80s are starting to expand as well. So that was, you know, that was a real important point in my life, having the opportunity to go and develop a career in a city where there was an awful lot going on. I worked in finance, so started off in banking. And again, in the 1980s, there were lots of interesting developments, especially around the derivatives market, where I ended up, where I found myself. And from that perspective, I think, you know, had I not been close to London growing up, had I not gone to work in London after school, I think, you know, my career path certainly would have been very much different. And then when I decided to quit that, I went to university and had to eventually, of course, pick something to study. Having discovered 18th century financial markets, I rediscovered a new London, a London with echoes of the London that I knew and had left behind, but also a London that showed me something different to what I had experienced as well. And that I found, you know, a London again that was terribly exciting and a terribly stimulating place to be.
And then looking ahead, what city do you think is one to watch for the future?
Well, I'm going to be slightly repetitive and say London again, but for a whole set of different reasons. We now, I think, are entering a particularly interesting phase post the decision to leave the EU in London's history. And I think it's one to watch because it is one to watch as it moves away from being within the European Union, and to see the challenges that might come and how it adapts to those challenges. London bases a lot of its prosperity on its financial services industry, the money markets, the foreign exchange markets, insurance markets. One of the reasons that they've done so well over the past 30, 40 years or so is that connection within Europe. How will that change if we do leave the EU? Will London prove itself once again to be capable of adapting to new circumstances and growing within the new environments in which it often finds itself? Or will this lead to problems? You know, will there be a decline in London's influence? The other thing I think is somewhat more problematic is that London has always been a melting pot. London has always been a centre for migration, both internal migration and external migration, and has been richer, more vibrant, more interesting because of that. The decision to leave the EU, I think, has led us to, or led some to question the value of migration, the value of migrants within our society. And I think that's problematic. And I think that's, you know, that's, again, something to watch and something to be aware of. How will London adapt to that? Will it change? Will its supposed tolerance and the vibrancy and diversity of its environments change in the years to come?
Well, I think we'll be speaking about London again in our next question, because you're here tonight to lecture on the origins of the Bank of England and its relationship with the City of London. Mm-hmm. And so you've touched on this already in some of our discussion, but why does this history matter to us today? Why should we be having this conversation or this lecture?
The Bank of England matters partly because it is an institution that is more than 300 years old. And its history, therefore, is a point of questioning. How did it survive? How does it change? How did it develop from a very hastily constructed, small expedient to fund a war to what we have today? How does it develop into this mature central bank? And that, I think, is something that deserves investigation of itself. You know, aside from what the Bank of England is today, looking back at its history, looking at the way it developed over the 18th century, I think that's an important question that we should ask. It's also a question that hasn't been asked enough by historians. Mm. Oddly enough, for such an important institution, it's relatively little investigated. So there is a real opportunity for historians to understand what the bank did during the 18th century, how it interacted with London, how it interacted with the populations that used it, and its importance as part of the economic development of Britain in the 18th century. We talk a lot about the industrialisation of Britain as the first industrial nation. We need to talk more, I think, about the financialisation of Britain. Mm. How did financial services develop and what role did the Bank of England play in that? I also think there's an opportunity to think and talk about the Bank of England as a cultural institution. What impact did it make upon the city in which it exists, the people who used it, its environment, and the country in general? And once again, I don't think that has been investigated enough. So I think there are plenty of questions that historians can ask about the 18th century bank and its role in our maturing and developing economy, society, and culture.
Well, I look forward to hearing more in your lecture tonight. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.